Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Okay.
Martha, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening. Well, I wasn't going to be able to make it.
Well, I'm not sure what's going on because Malka was on the phone and then it went, she disconnected. And I went back to the music. So I'm not sure what's going on.
The last few calls are I dialed the number and it was a wrong number. But
right.
Today was birthday, and so he's getting a lot of birthday calls, and then the baby, they're back in the hospital for the baby. So, been back and forth.
Well, Mazel Tov on the baby.
What was the last one?
I said Mazel Tov on the baby.
Oh, well, okay. They're just taking her back, so she has a while to go.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you said that they were going to induce this morning.
Well, it was supposed to have been yesterday at 5 o'clock, and they went up there, but they failed to tell them that they had canceled on them and told them to come back at 9 tonight. So...
Oh,
they're back up there at 9.
I misunderstood. I thought it was 9 in the morning. So, sorry about that.
He said, I don't understand going to the hospital at 9 o'clock at night. But I guess they know what they're doing. So,
Malka, did you come back? Because we disconnected for a while.
Yeah, I'm back. I had to get back on.
Okay, I'm sorry. We've been having that problem.
Yeah, my phone's not working properly either.
Well, that's true of all of our phones recently. Would anybody object if I just went directly into the class and didn't do the connections?
Oh, that's fine.
Hannah, are you on?
Yes, that's fine with me.
Okay. The classes are available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I believe it's... It's row 14, but it may be row 11. But it's the right-hand column. Excuse me, it's the second column from the left. I'm a little confused tonight because with the Hanukkah lightings, I'm a little time constraints. But it's the writings of the Ari landing page, and when you have that, scroll down to Parashat Niketz. And there are two links there. We will probably read both of them tonight. I'll start with Olashem Yehud.
Okay, I'm
going to need... Yehuda, Shalim, Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sot Torah Mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunenei. A man of insight. Joseph decreed that all of the Egyptians who came to procure grain fulfilled the mitzvah of Brit Milah, circumcision. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, what Hashem is doing, he has told to Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh should seek out a man of insight, a wise person. This is difficult to understand. Had Joseph been appointed a royal advisor? Yet he said to Pharaoh, now Pharaoh should seek out a man of insight, a wise person. It would have been sufficient for him to do what was asked of him and interpret the dream as was requested. Furthermore, what is the meaning of the word now in the latter verse? Also, the first verse should have stated what God will do in the future. He has told. For at that stage, the years of plenty and the years of famine had not yet begun. However, the answer to all these questions may be found in the statement of our sages. There are three things which God himself, not an emissary, announces. They are famine, plenty, and a proper leader over the community. What is the source for famine? As the verse states, Hashem has called for a famine. The 130 years that the Israelites were in Egypt prior to the birth of Moses were spent in gathering in the sparks of holy souls. And this is why the verse states what God is doing in the present tense rather than in the future. For he is continually announcing the advent of famine or plenty. And so he disclosed these matters to Pharaoh. But since two of the three matters that the Holy One himself announces were about to be fulfilled, it was proper at this point to also fulfill the third one and appoint a proper leader over the community. This is why Joseph said, now Pharaoh should seek out a man of insight, a wise person. Joseph was the physical angel in the physical world. Joseph was told by Hashem, as part of the explanation of the dream, what to say. This last was an unwritten commentary of mine. Continuing. Pharaoh said to all of Egypt, go to Joseph, do whatever he tells you. Our sages say that Joseph decreed that all of them fulfilled the mitzvah of circumcision. They went to ask Pharaoh's advice, and he told them to do whatever Joseph had commanded. An unwritten commentary. Joseph told all of the Egyptians who needed food, and that didn't take place until, I believe, the third year of the famine. Maybe at the end of the second year, even. But it wasn't that Joseph said to the priest, because Joseph was very careful, and a careful reading of the Tanakh, of the Torah itself, will remind you that Joseph allowed the priest to store grain during the years of famine, the years of plenty, so that the priests never went hungry. The priests were not affected. And this is a lesson that we always must remember, never to attack a person's spiritual belief system. We can attempt to persuade, but we can never tell them that their spiritual belief system is incorrect. Continuing to read. The 130 years that the Israelites were in Egypt prior to the days of Moses were spent in gathering in the sparks of holy souls, which Adam had discharged by wasting his seed in the 130 years prior to the birth of his son Seth, who was the very same aspect as Moses. I skipped a paragraph, so I'm going to read it now. It's the one above this one. Our sages say that Joseph decreed that all of them fulfill the mitzvah of circumcision. They went to ask Pharaoh's advice, and he told them to do whatever Joseph had commanded. Initially, these souls had been incarnated into the bodies of the people who lived during the time of the flood. However, they wantonly spilled their seed upon the earth, following their roots and the place from where they were drawn. They were then reincarnated in the generation of the Tower of Babel. But again, they did not rectify the sin of Adam and the following generations. Now, once again, they had been reincarnated as Egyptians. Now, I am adding. Note that these souls are being manifested in the end time situation that we are presently in. The flood, the Tower of Babel, the time of the plagues are all birth pangs of Mashiach periods. In my opinion, these same souls have been reincarnated again in Syria and Yemen and other locations associated with famine, war, and other aspects of chaos. Not all of the souls, as some have achieved their tikkuns and no longer need to reincarnate. For those who do need this additional reincarnation will continue being reincarnated, although after four reincarnations, it will be as a spark. I'm continuing with my comments, although it's not written. For many years that I've studied Kabbalah, I have asked the question, why in America and in many places in the Western world, but mostly in North America, primarily United States and Canada, all non-Jewish people are circumcised. All our non-Jewish men have been circumcised for the last probably 70 years, at least 50 that I know of. And the answer is given in this paragraph that we've just read. This is a reincarnation of people who were circumcised when they were Egyptians. And they're living that process in this generation, as we are in the end times, as is commonly discussed. I'll continue to read. Joseph had prophetic vision, and he knew that they were the sparks of souls that had been produced from wasted seed. He therefore decreed that they be circumcised in order to rectify some of the sin of their initial root. They were produced by a blemish in the place of the Holy Covenant. After the circumcision, they began to be rectified to a degree, And during the subsequent 130-year period, prior to the birth of Moses, they were reincarnated as Israelites. It is for this reason that the Israelites were sentenced to hard labor in order to rectify, to refine, and purify them, and particularly to rectify the sin of the generation of the Tower of Babel, who built the tower from mortar and bricks. The mixed multitude were the sparks of holiness which had mingled into Egypt. This is what is written. And Joseph relocated the people in cities from one end of Egypt's borders to the other. Those he relocated were those whom he had circumcised, and he moved them around in order to refine and purify them. These are the mixed multitude, the heir of Rav, of whom the Egyptians said, "The people of the children of Israel are more numerous and stronger than us." But a later verse states, "And they," the Egyptians, "became dissatisfied with themselves because of the children of Israel." In one verse, they are referred to as the people of the children of Israel, whereas in the other, they are referred to as simply the children of Israel. Why the discrepancy? And this is a comment by the translator. The secret of this is that those whom Joseph circumcised and who lived in the Jewish cities observed the customs of the Israelites. Jacob had also converted Egyptians, as our sages state. All of them also observed Israelite customs. Now Pharaoh noticed the observances of those who were called the people of the children of Israel. Those who were not the children of Israel themselves, but the people of the children of Israel. Therefore another verse states, "He," Pharaoh, "said to his nation, other Egyptians who were not the people of the children of Israel." But the verse, "and they became dissatisfied with themselves because of the children of Israel," refers to the Israelites themselves. Now you can understand to a degree why the Israelites were exiled to Egypt. All of this was for the sake of those sparks which the decadent Egyptians had captured. This is what is written, also a mixed multitude, in Hebrew, Erev Rav, went up with them. Mystically, the mixed multitude were the sparks of holiness which had mingled into Egypt and which Moses wished to elevate. But the Holy One saw that they were not yet rectified and fit to be elevated, and he did not want to extract them at that point in time. However, there were actually two varieties of mixed multitude. Those who are referred to as the mixed multitude, and also the mixed minority, mentioned in the Zohar. The mixed multitude derived from supernal dot, which is called great or major, whereas the mixed minority derived from yesod, which is called minor. For this reason, the numerical value of Erev Rav, mixed multitude, is the same as the numerical value of Dot, for they were those who sinned and uprooted the plantings above. The secret of the stiff-necked people, as will be explained in Parashat Ekev. That is the end of the first link. Are there any questions? I'm going to ask Hannah, did it make it a little more clear for you? I'll wait until you unmute.
Just till it got to the end.
that last paragraph. I can see how to read that one over and over.
Well,
I know there's showing a connection between the mixed multitude and the air of love. Well, not the air of love, but the dot. The numerical value, I see that. But I don't know, that paragraph is cloudy for me.
All right. The reason it's cloudy is it's mixing words from the Tanakh and also from the Zohar. But the words from the Zohar may not be translated that way in the English that we have read. And we may not have even gotten to that section of it. But there's a difference. The Ari is teaching us that there's a difference to the shoresh, to the root of the mixed multitude, which is the Hebrew phrase Erev Rav.
Okay.
There's a difference between that word in the Tanakh, or that phrase in the Tanakh, and what the Zohar is explaining, that there is the secret of the concept of the stiff-necked people, as he says, the Torah says, the children of Israel are stiff-necked. It's really talking about different levels of consciousness. And it's also at the same time talking about the different root of those souls. Some of those souls, their root is in Das. They are the major, the large ones, the mixed multitude, the Erev Rav. Remember, the literal translation of Erev Rav is large evening. And the Zohar says that there's only two people that are called Erev Rav, because these are the magicians of Egypt. And the Egyptian magicians had a hierarchy of who was a stronger magician, a hierarchy of magicians. And these two very high souls were the grandchildren of Lavan. And the mixed multitude, when Moses was, the days were miscounted by the children of Israel, or maybe by these two mixed multitude people who influenced the children of Israel. And so they thought Moses was not coming down. These two people wanted to elevate the soul of Levan, who had reincarnated and at that point was in the level of the grass. And he needed to elevate to the level of animal. So they created the golden calf by utilizing the energy provided by Aaron, because he accepted the gold directly from their hand rather than through an intermediary. And so they were able to cause Aaron to inject the energy of life, which is Kesed, which the Kohanim are channels for. And the golden calf became alive, with the soul of Levon. Now, there are other people who are called mixed multitudes. But in this phrase, in this paragraph, and in the Zohar, this translator is saying, this applies to the people that are called stiff-necked. And he's saying their source is not in Dot, but their source is in Yesod. And it will be explained more clearly in the Parashat of Ekev.
So that's good. That's much better understanding. The only question I would still have would be the phrase, the mixed minority. Are they saying that the mixed multitude is also the mixed minority? Or is that another group, or one of the groups that you're saying, one in Dot and another in Yesod?
They are two groups that are referred to with the phrase mixed multitude.
Okay.
And it's really two levels of consciousness within the negative system. I hope that's clear.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That really helped. Thank you.
You're welcome. I know it was long and drawn out, but it's really the only way that the paragraph could be explained clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're using the English and not the Hebrew, not the Aramaic.
Right.
And you may not have read that aspect of the Zohar that talks about the mixed multitude being just two individuals that are the grandchildren of Levon.
Well, I do remember it. I remembered it when you said it this time, but because it has come up at least one other time that I remember, but I didn't remember it until you said it again. So thank you.
Baruch Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Malka, was it clear for you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I will go on to the second reading, the second link on the Ari landing page. Kabbalah teaches that certain periods are ripe for particular spiritual rectifications. This week's parasha, Miketz, alludes to an auspicious date for the advent of the Mashiach. Such a date is called a Ketz in Hebrew, which means literally an end to the exile. In the following excerpt, the Arizal predicts that the year 1976 would be a Ketz, at least in the higher world. Now, please note that's the commentary by the translator. But it also is giving you a hint. This is an unwritten commentary. But it's giving you a hint to the idea that there can be an exile in the spiritual worlds as well. Continuing. At the end of 2 years, 2 years adds up to 730 days. Each solar year is 365, and when multiplied by 2 becomes 730. Now, by adding to this the 6 letters of the word Shana, meaning the year, the sum total comes to 736. Which equals the sum of the name Adonai, spelled simply 65, for Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. But adding that 65 together with the same name spelled with the Milui, which is 671. Thus, 736 is 671 plus 65. And this is called the end of days.
End of days, I'd like to make a comment, if I can interrupt you.
Sure.
When I began teaching the adults, it was 2004 when I say adults at the synagogue. And at that time, we'll always give them the name of the Torah portion and its root and its meaning. But in the beginning, when I had done all my research, with the meanings of roots of the Torah portions, Ketz was not one of them. It wasn't until several years later before I started seeing it appear, in other sources. And then they said end point, which basically still means end, and the root is Ketz, of Meketz. But I thought that was an interesting find, too, that you didn't see it in most commentaries as a meaning.
You're going to find that there is an evolution in the consciousness of the world. And that revolution, that evolution takes place when a Kabbalist, and maybe now a student of Kabbalah, is revealing some aspect of the Torah. Once that's revealed, now it becomes available for others to connect with it in the spiritual world of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start to see these phrases and these ideas start to percolate through the world. Hashem reveals things to the righteous people, but he also will direct people that we would say are righteous or even non-righteous. He utilizes them as his angels, as his messengers as well. One of the discussions we had in tonight's lighting of the candles, one of the people brought this idea that Hashem utilizes the less righteous or non-righteous people, but he utilizes them to bring about his plan of creation. And we need to recognize that. So it's important for you to realize that, there's a reason why it wasn't being written about until the last maybe 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's in the English. Maybe it was written about, 2,000 years ago, but in the Hebrew, and we don't get direct access to that. I'm going to continue to read, unless you want to continue
to
discuss this.
I just remember that one because I had a hard time finding what was the root of Meketz. And it was several years before I was able to add it to my handout.
Understand. Although I'm a little bit surprised, but you said it was early in your process, but the word Meketz just means from, the mem at the beginning means from, so.
Mm-hmm.
End of days. The apparent intention here is to indicate that the year 5736, 1976 in the Gregorian calendar, was an auspicious year for the advent of the Mashiach. That is the translator's commentary. Seven healthy cows. In Yetzirah, there is good and evil. These are the seven hekalot, or palaces, of the world of Briah. And this is why the cows are referred to explicitly as briot, meaning healthy, related to the world of Briah. The seven other cows mentioned in the verse following are the seven hekalot, palaces, of the world of Yetzirah. They are described as of evil appearance. This is because in Yetzirah there is good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. For this reason, the verse states that they stood on the banks of the river and not in the river. The river alludes to Bina, which nests, is revealed primarily in the world of Briah, as will be explained below. The Hekalot, the palaces of Yetzirah, are thus only on the banks of the Briah, the banks of the river. Seven ears of grain, healthy and good. These are also from the world of Briah. Pharaoh is the aspect of Malchut, of Atzilut, where all the lights are uncovered. Malchut of Atzilut is clothed in Briah, which is the river and the 12 cattle upon which the Sea of Solomon stands. This is the meaning of Pharaoh was standing over the river. The river that poured forth its bounty. The river is also Yesod of Atzilut. The river that pours forth its bounty to Pharaoh, which is Yesod feeding Malchut, who is the single stalk of wheat, in Hebrew, Kaneh, mentioned in verse 5. Kaneh, together with one for the Kolel, is the numerical value 156, the equivalent of the numerical value of Joseph. In Hebrew, it's Yosef. The cows ate up. As you already know, all famine and harsh decrees come from the side of the Nukvah, since it rules over the male aspect, the column of Chesed, and has lost her sweetness. This is indicated by the letters of the Tetragrammaton in jumbled sequence. This is alluded to by the Torah in the words of the verse, the cows of good appearance. Healthy. In Hebrew, it's haparot yefot, hamar e vehabriot. For the initial letters of this verse spells out hey yud, hey vav. Note that the feminine letters are placed before the male letters, thus ruling over them. The hey over the yud and the second hey over the vav. And I will give you a preview, because the month of Tevet starts over this coming weekend, and that is the permutation for the month of Tevet. Hey Yud Hey Vav. Which gives you an idea why the month of Tevet tends to be a difficult month. Famine is caused by sins.
May I ask a question here?
Of course.
Is it a difficult month just as Heshvan follows Tishrei and Tibet follows Kislev with so much light? Is that the reason that it's difficult? So if we don't have the vessel, it becomes difficult.
That's always the case. It's an indication there's a lot of light in each of those months. But if you don't have the vessel, the month becomes difficult for the person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do have the vessel, the month is not difficult. It's actually a serene month.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Famine is caused by sins which arouse the harsh judgments of the nukva. This is why there was famine, which is caused by sins which arouse the harsh judgments of nukva. Nukva is called Isha, a Hebrew for a woman. The word formed by the initial letters of the verse, the seven cows in Hebrew, et sheva haparot. For it is from this aspect that famine comes. According to the redactor of the Sha'ar HaPesukim, the gate of the verses, this excerpt was not recorded by Rabbi Chaim Vital, but rather by one of the other students of the Arizal. And that's the end of the reading. It's the end of the class. Are there any questions? Bid you all Shalom Gadol, a happy Hanukkah. And remind you that tomorrow is questions and answers, so I hope you'll join us if you can. Shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.